Well, we're thankful to have the Johnson family with us today. And Brother Johnson was telling me this morning, I couldn't remember exactly how many years, but they've been on the field for 4 years, and we were their last church right before they kind of made the transition to Japan. So it's been about 4.5 years that we've been supporting them. And it's just amazing how our missions family grows and time just flies by. It is unbelievable. I just feel like the other day we took you on. And I'm excited to have Brother Johnson here. We finished our series on bitterness. It has been our habit. We want somebody to be preaching that Sunday night that the series is over. And thank the Lord for Brother Johnson coming through and giving us his time and his family. And we're certainly thankful for them and looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight by way of our missionary, Paul Johnson.
Thank you very much. It is great to be with you again this. And I just want to once again say thank you so much for your prayers and your support over the last 4.5 years. And we just love being in Japan. We enjoy coming back and giving an update about what God is doing. But we can't wait to get back to Japan and continue the work there. And so thank you for your prayers as we continue on the furlough. We have about 3 more months left. We'll be going back in January. So if you could continue to pray for us, that would be a huge blessing. But we're looking forward to getting back in January. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Philippians chapter number 3, please. Philippians chapter number 3. And we're just going to read two verses this evening. Verse number 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. This is a rather well-known passage of Scripture, one that many of you probably have memorized already, but one that I believe each and every one of us can learn from and apply to our lives. But Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13, says, "Their brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Before we continue, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather together this evening. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement and a challenge to us this evening. Lord, I pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many times in the New Testament, our Christian life is compared to running, and specifically running a race. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And our Christian life is compared to running a race. And I can't speak for everybody in here, but personally, I love any type of sports. I love soccer, baseball, football, anything that involves teams and playing. I love sports. But if it's just me getting out there and just running, just for the sake of running, not really one of my favorite things to do. I don't really have the right motivation, I guess. But since being back in the States, we came back in May of this year, and since being back in America, I have been forced to start running. And the reason is one of the hardest things about being in America is the amazing desserts that we have here. Yeah, we're talking about the auction desserts. You know, we have the berry cheesecakes and the brownies and the cookies and the cupcakes and cakes and all the, you know, Twinkies and all these things. And, you know, things that we have a little bit harder time getting in Japan. You know, usually for our snacks in Japan, we'll take a rice ball and wrap that with seaweed, and that's our snack. And to be fair, it is delicious, but when you compare that to a Reese's peanut butter cup, you know, it's not exactly the same. So when we came back to the States, I may have swung to the opposite extreme and went a little bit overboard with the desserts. But one of the other hard things is the dryers here in America. They work so well. Every time I put my clothes in, they just shrink my clothes. I'm not sure what that is, but so I've been forced to start running. Of course, my wife, she loves to cook and bake. And when we first came back to the States, she just started baking cakes and cupcakes and things. You know, of course, being the loving husband that I am, you don't want to disappoint your wife and not eat the things that she's cooked. And so I remember about a week after we got back, Sarah had made a dozen cupcakes and frosted them beautifully and laid them on the counter to cool. And I happened to be walking by at some point there. And so I just started eating cupcakes. And after about before, Sarah walks in and she sees what I'm doing and she says, are you going to eat all of those cupcakes? I hope so. You know, that's my plan. I don't start something without finishing it. I'm not a quitter. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the job done, you know. And so she says, so are you going to start running in the morning, or when is that going to start? You know, and she's dropping these hints like wives are wonderful, you know, very good at doing. And they say husbands can't catch hints. But of course, I got it. So I took my cupcakes into the bathroom and closed the door. And, you know, so that, I got it, you know. So I started running just to be able to keep up with my cupcake eating addiction. And so I've been running for the last few months or so, but still not one of my favorite things to do. But I understand a little bit more about when the Bible talks about our Christian life being a race, because the Christian life is not something that is just a 100-yard sprint and something that is just over in 15 seconds and we just try as hard as we can for a little bit of time and then it's done. No, it's something that takes a lot of effort. It's something that it takes our focus. It's when I'm going out running, I just have to think, you know, one step in front of another. Or one more step, and once I get back to the house, I can eat another cupcake. And, you know, all these, whatever your motivation is, for me, it's just, I have to put one step in front of another until I, quote unquote, cross the finish line. And that's the way that the Christian life is. It's not something that's over quickly. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes one foot in front of another, one step at a time, until we hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that would be our finish line, so to speak. And so, in the Bible, our Christian life is compared to a race, one that just takes one step after another. And that's what I'd like to talk about this evening. What is the next step in your race? What is the next step that God wants you to take this evening? Because each and every one of us has a step of faith, if I can put it that way, a step of faith that God wants us to take. You know, of course, each and every one of us are different. The race that I'm on, the course that I'm on is different than the course that Pastor Schwender is on. And for him, it probably does not involve eating my rice balls with seaweed or, you know, whatever, living in Japan, speaking Japanese. But that's the course that I'm on. And that's the next step of faith for me, involves those sort of things. But God, I believe, has a plan for each and every one of us that is different. However, there's another step of faith that God wants you to take. For example, if you're here this evening and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that is the first step of faith that God wants you to take. After salvation, there are other steps of faith that are written of in the Bible. We need to be baptized and join a local assembly. And there are steps that as Christians we should take. Each and every one of us are at a different stage in our life. But God has another step of faith that God wants you to take. This evening, I'm not here to tell you what that step is, because I don't know. I don't know anybody in here this evening. And even if I did, I wouldn't be able to tell what God has for your life. However, I believe that if we earnestly seek God's face and ask, "What is your will for my life?" God will show us what that next step is for life, what He wants us to do. This evening, though, what I'd like to do is share with us, if we are going to take that next step of faith, if we are going to serve God with our life in whatever capacity, there are several things that we need to apply to our life that can be found in this passage of Scripture from this book of Philippians chapter number 3. So let's begin reading again in verse number 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." This is the Apostle Paul writing here. He's writing to the church at Philippi. And if there was any person that I think could be satisfied with what they had done for Christ, it would be Paul. I don't know for sure, but if you look at his ministry, I don't know exact numbers or anything like this, but he most likely saw thousands of people saved and hundreds of churches started all across the known world at the time as a direct result of his ministry. And if there was one person that at the end of his life could be satisfied with what they had done for Christ, it would be Paul. However, Philippians was written from Rome near the end of Paul's life. And what does he say? He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I'm not yet finished. There's another step of faith that God wants me to take. There's something more. There's another work that God wants me to do. He says, I'm not yet done. I've not yet apprehended. But then he continues and he says, if I'm going to take that next step of faith, if I'm going to continue serving God, there are three things that I'm going to do in my life that every single one of us as Christians need to apply to our lives as well. So let's continue reading. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul says the first thing that I'm going to have to do if I'm going to serve God is I'm going to have to forget. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. He says, if I'm going to serve God, there are some things that I am going to have to forget about. So I think about Paul. I think, what did he have to forget in his life if he was going to serve God? There are several things that we could mention, but I think Paul had to forget about past sin in his life. If you look at his life before he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he was not a person that was friendly to Christians, to put it lightly. He was consenting to the stoning of Stephen. He was actively going out and looking for Christians and persecuting them, throwing them in jail. He was going out and persecuting those that trusted Christ until he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And sometimes we may think that I have done so much in my past against God that God cannot use me. And so I think Paul may have had the same thoughts perhaps. He said, I've gone out and I've persecuted Christians. I was there when they stoned Stephen. I was directly fighting against God. And because of that, God could never use me. However, he says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. Just forgetting those things which are behind. I'm thankful that God has given us the promise in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the key there is that we have to confess our sin. It's not something that we can just say, I sin, so you know I'm just going to forget about that and continue so I can go on and sin again. No, it's something that we have to confess and we have to forsake the sin that's in our life. But I'm thankful that God gives us a second and a third and a fourth chance. And yes, of course, if we sin, we have to deal with the consequences of that sin. There's always going to be consequences for sin that we commit. However, there's always more that we can do for Christ. God says, look, don't live in the past of sin. Confess your sin. Get it taken care of. Forget those things which are behind. Pastor preached a great message this morning about bitterness. I think of bitterness or any sin really in our life. And it's amazing to me how just the smallest bit, if it gets in our life, if it gets between us and Christ, how much it can hinder us from doing the work that God wants us to do. It can severely hamper the way, the task that God wants us to complete. Just as a way of example, living in our town in Aomori, Japan, if you were here this morning, you saw the slide presentation, and you may have noticed we get a little bit of snow in our town during the winter. And if you weren't here, we get about 25 feet of snow every year. And so during the winter months from about December through March, our daily life is completely changed. Basically, every day we're going out there shoveling snow, cleaning our cars out. And you just have to add a few extra hours to your schedule every day. But the weather and the forecast plays an important role in our life because we want to find out what's going to be happening that day, how much work we can get done. And one morning, the very first year that we were living in Aomori, I woke up in the morning and it was winter. I wanted to check the weather to see what we were going to be able to do that day. And so instead of just opening the window and looking out, I was having my phone and I was checking the weather app while I was walking down the hallway and not paying attention to what I was doing. And wouldn't you know it, I stubbed my toe against one of the, we have a shelf in our hallway that we put our gloves and hats on and things to dry in. And I stubbed the middle toe of my right foot. And it's amazing that it's one of those things, as soon as you do it, I looked down and I knew it was broken. It's kind of flopped over on the other ones, you know. It didn't look like that before. It's not supposed to look that way. But there's not much that the doctor could do. So I just kind of straightened it out and taped it up and just kind of hoped for the best. But there was still snow shoveling to do. And so I tried to get my boots on and I tried to go out there and shovel. And it's amazing that I couldn't do it. I got my boots on, but when I tried to get outside and tried to shovel, I couldn't push off the way that I was supposed to. I had just broken my toe, 30 minutes ago, and I couldn't shovel the snow like I was supposed to. So I came back inside and told Sarah, I said, Sarah, you're going to have to get out there and shovel the snow today. So I'm laying on the couch, watching her out the window working, and the thought did cross my mind. This isn't really that bad. I'm trying to calculate how many more days of winter we have and how many more toes I have left to break. And, it wasn't really that bad. But the point is, it was just the tiny little toe. It's not really that important of a toe. It's not my big toe. It wasn't even my whole foot. It was just the middle toe of my right toe. And yet, it severely hampered and it hindered me from getting the work done that I needed to do. It didn't stop me from walking. I could still kind of get around and I wasn't put down for that long. But I couldn't do the work that I was supposed to do because of that one little toe. And it's the same in our life. If we let that root of bitterness take hold, or if we let that sin get in our life without confessing it, it may not stop us from serving God. We may still continue to try to work and try to serve God, but we will not be 100%, so to speak. We will not be able to serve God to the full extent of our abilities the way that God wants us to, unless we get that sin out of our life, unless we confess it and we forsake it. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Not only did he have to forget about past sin in his life, I believe that he had to forget about past mistakes and past bad experiences that he had gone through in his life as well. We won't take the time to look at it this evening, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul gives us a list of things that have happened to him since becoming a Christian, since trying to serve God. And he lists things like being shipwrecked and being whipped and being stoned and being beaten and having the cares of the church and being persecuted from without the church and being persecuted by the brethren and all these different things that have happened to Paul. In my life, I have never been persecuted for being a Christian the way that Paul was. Paul went through some terrible things. Why? Because he was out there serving God. Because he was out there trying to do the work that God had given him to do. And he suffered for it. He went through some terrible things. And yet we come to Philippians 3. And he says, I've got to forget about those things. I've got to forget those bad experiences of the past if I'm going to continue to serve God. If you've been a Christian or been saved for any amount of time and you've tried to be a witness or tried to give your testimony or tried to show Christ to those around you, you may have discovered, like Paul, that not everybody is excited about what you have to share. Not everybody is excited and wants to hear about God. You may have had some bad experiences of the past that if we're going to continue serving God, we're going to have to forget about. Of course, it's discouraging. Yes, it can be hard. In Aomori, we do a lot of door knocking and passing out flyers and inviting people to church and just trying to get out into the community. And the very first year that we were there, we passed out thousands of flyers. And in the 2 years that we were there, we passed out 50,000 flyers and tracts and went door knocking. And from those 50,000 invitations, we had two visitors come, and none of that, they were there for one Sunday and then gone. And after the first 10,000 flyers or so, we had absolutely no response whatsoever. And I remember one morning sitting at the church, and I got a phone call from a lady. And the first thing that she said was, I received one of your flyers in my mailbox. And when she said that, I got excited. I thought, finally, somebody that was interested in hearing more and learning about the Bible. And I very quickly figured out that that was not the case. For the next 5 minutes or so, she yelled at me. And, she was very upset with me because I had put something about God and about religion in her mailbox. And that's a little bit discouraging if I'm going to be completely honest. We haven't had absolutely no response except for somebody that's angry with us. And yet, if we're going to continue to serve God and continue to do the work that God had given us to do, we're going to have to forget about the one grumpy lady and just trust God to take care of that and take that next step of faith and just say, look, I'm going to forget about those things which are behind. Paul says, I'm going to have to forget about the past bad experiences that I've gone through. And then I believe he had to forget about some of the good experiences that he had that had happened to him as well. And that may sound like a strange statement, but again, you think of Paul's life and the great things that God had done through him. And God did great things in Paul's life and through him. And yet he says in Philippians 3, I'm going to have to forget about those things which are behind. Why do I think that Paul had to forget about even the good experiences of the past? Don't misunderstand. I love looking back at our past and thanking God for what He has done for us. And just in our personal ministry in Japan, God has done some amazing things. We've seen people saved that others have worked on for years. And we've seen God do great things in our church. And yet we cannot say, God has saved this person. We've done our job in Japan. You know, our work is finished. No. There's more work that needs to be done. We cannot just always constantly be living in the past and looking at those things that God has done for us in the past. No, God wants us to look towards the future. God says, look, there's more that I want you to do. There's another step of faith that I want you to take. But if you're going to take that step of faith, look, you're going to have to, quote unquote, forget about those good things that I've done for you in the past. Because every day brings about a new battle. Every day brings a new struggle. And we cannot rely on the victories of the past in order to win the battles of tomorrow. Yes, they can encourage us. Yes, they can help us and to strengthen us. And yet, every day is going to require new grace from God. Every day is going to require new strength. Paul says, I'm going to have to forget about those things which are behind. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. What about you this evening? Are there things that you need to forget about? Is there sin in your past that you need to give over to God? Is there bad experiences that you may have gone through in the workplace or with family members? You may have seen God do great things in your life. You may have seen God answer prayer. You may have seen souls saved as a result of your testimony. And yet that cannot be good enough. We have to say, like Paul, I have not yet apprehended. There's another step of faith that God wants me to take. If we're going to take that step of faith, he says, I'm going to have to forget those things. And then he continues on. Let's keep reading in verse number 13. Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I'm going to forget. And then number two, I'm going to reach. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Yeah, I believe that this speaks to the fact that Paul was excited about what God had for him. He says, I'm reaching forth towards those things which are before. I'm anticipating God doing great things. Yes, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there's going to be a battle, but I'm reaching for it. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to be cowed by the possibility of difficulties. No, I'm going to reach for them. I'm going to be anticipating God working on my behalf. I'm going to reach for the future. Paul was excited about serving God. I believe that in our Christian walk, our attitude about serving God is just as important as the action of serving God. You know, we can come to church because that's the quote unquote Christian thing to do. And that's just what we're supposed to do as Christians. And we come in and we sit there and we are not prepared to hear the preaching. We're not prepared to get anything from the message. And then we wonder why God never speaks to us. And yet I think a lot of the times it's we've not prepared our hearts. We don't have the right attitude. I believe that, like the Apostle Paul, we need to have the right attitude about serving God. We need to be excited. We need to say, look, yes, there's going to be struggles, but I'm excited about it. I'm going to meet those struggles head on. I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to fight. I'm going to reach toward the future. What about you this evening? Can you, like the Apostle Paul, say, I'm reaching for the future? I'm excited about serving God. Paul says, I'm going to reach for it. Then lastly, in verse number 14, Paul says there, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, there's more work that I have to do. In order to do that work, I'm going to have to forget about those things in the past. I'm going to reach for the future. And number three, I'm going to press. He says, I press toward the mark. I believe this speaks to the fact that the Apostle Paul was going to work as hard as he could at the task that God had given him to do. He was a hard worker. He was not lazy. You look at what Paul did and the places that he went around the world, all on foot or in a boat or possibly an animal of some sort, a horse, a donkey, a camel. I don't know what the Apostle Paul had at his disposal, but it was not a car. It was not an airplane. And yet he traveled around the entire world, the known world at the time, preaching the gospel. It was the task that God had given him to do, and he dedicated his life to it. And he said, I'm going to press toward it. I'm going to work at the task that God has given me to do. You know, the Christian life is not the life for a lazy person. It's a lot of hard work. You know, anything that we do, whether it's in the secular sense or Christian life, if we desire to do it well, it requires a lot of hard work. For instance, I have little to no experience at this, but we have four children ages 5 and under. And I don't know anything about the 6-year-old and up stage of being a parent, but from 5 years old and under, being a dad is a lot of hard work. You know, our littlest is about 3 months old now, and it is amazing how much time just a little guy requires. You know, he's always crying for mom and dad's attention, and if we put him down, he cries, and if he has a poopy diaper, he cries, and if he wants to be fed, he cries, and he always wants the attention on himself. He's always saying, "Daddy, look at me. Mommy, hold me." And he's just so selfish, and you know, he's just always thinking about himself. And we have two other kids that are in diapers right now as well, or pull-ups or whatever they are. And at any given time during the day, one of our children needs their diaper changed. You know, it's a full-time job. And, you know, being a dad, I try to be a good dad, and I try to help, and I do diapers. I don't actually change the diapers, but I tell Sarah, this one needs to be changed, you know. And so I do my part, and I'm doing what I can to help Sarah. But being a dad is hard work. They embarrass you in public, this starts from birth. You know, I'm very thankful. I have very cute children now. But when our first was born, nobody had prepared me for what that moment would be like. He wasn't cute, when, you know, to be honest, you know. And so, yeah, I remember I was there in the hospital holding him and thinking, you know, where did this ugliness come from? You know, I was trying to go through the list of my ugly relatives, you know. Then the nurse comes in and she says, "Oh, congratulations, he looks just like you." You know, I don't know how to take that, you know, but yeah, it's hard work right from the beginning. You know, it's humbling to be a dad. You have to be disciplined, I had a new experience. Timmy beat me at Mario Kart the other day on the Wii, and he's 5, and so he's grounded until Dad can practice a little bit more, you know. Probably about a week after moving to Japan, we decided that we were going to just take some time, and we were going to take Timmy. He was our only child at the time. We were going to take him to the aquarium. And the aquarium was about an hour and a half away or so. And so before we went to the store. And we were looking for snacks for the trip. And I found this can of sour cream and onion Pringles. And so when I found them, I thought, yes, you know, some American snacks. And so I grabbed them. And we jumped in the car. We got on the road. And pretty soon, Timmy got hungry. And so being the good dad that I am, I grabbed some chips and I gave them to him. And he ate the chips, and at the time he was 18 months old, and you know, 18 months, his vocabulary is not really that good, and the pronunciation is not all there. And after he ate this chip, he says something that sounds like hep. Now, to me, that sounded like he was saying chip. And so I thought he wanted another chip. And so I gave him another chip, and he ate it. And he said, hep. I gave him another chip, and he would eat it. Then he just kept saying this, and I kept giving him another chip, and he kept eating them. And after about 10 minutes of this or so, we got to looking at this can of sour cream and onion Pringles, and we found out that they were not sour cream and onion flavored. They were actually wasabi flavored, which, if you know what wasabi is, it's a very spicy horseradish based spice that we use in Japan. And so here I am, trying to be a good dad, feeding my son chips, and in his 18-month-old mind, he's crying out for help. He's saying, help, daddy, help. And you know, I'm just saying, just eat another chip back there. Just be quiet. Give your mom some peace and quiet up here, you know. And I'm trying to be a good dad, but it's hard work. And I say all that to say this. Anything that we do, if we desire to do it well, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes concentration. It takes discipline. It's not for the lazy if we want to do anything well. And it rolls right over to the Christian life as well. If we want to live for Christ, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes dedication. It takes us buckling down and saying, I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm going to work as hard as I can at what God has given me to do. And Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. He says, I'm going to work hard at the task that God has given me to do. But not only was Paul going to work hard, but when he said, I'm pressing, I believe that this means that Paul was not going to be deterred by the persecution that came up in his life. When he was stoned to the point where the people that were doing the stoning thought that he was dead, he said, I'm going to press through that. When he was shipwrecked, he says, I'm going to press toward the mark. When he was being beaten, he's saying, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be deterred by anything, by the persecution, by the hard times that come up in our lives. I heard it once said that you can tell the dedication, the measure of a man's dedication is what it takes to make that person give up. What does it take to make you give up? What would it take for you to stop coming to church? What would it take for you to give up on reading your Bible, from having your prayer time? What would it take for you to stop? And then you can fill in the blank. Paul said, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to press toward the mark. That persecution is not going to stand in my way. Those hard times, those bad experiences that have happened in the past, they're not going to stop me. I'm going to press toward the mark. What about you this evening? What does it take? What would it take to make you give up? I pray that, like the Apostle Paul, we will say, nothing. I'm going to press toward that mark.